Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you found time to join me today. We're continuing on in a message that I began on Monday entitled, What's Important to God? What are the things, the considerations that God considers important? And as I've been sharing, perhaps the most important, the greatest commendation He can give to any of us is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We've been looking at the words of Jacob to his sons in Genesis, the 49th chapter, words that he gave prophetically to each of his sons before he died. And we were looking at Reuben, that the mantle of leadership should have fallen on him, and then on Simeon and Levi, the next elders, but they forfeited that honor because of their violence and anger. If you remember the incidents at Shechem, because they were so angry that their sister Dinah had been raped by the prince of the son of the king, they slew all their males of that city. And then in verse 6, in Genesis 49, it indicates that anger and violence continued. Jacob says, "O my soul, stay away from them. May I never be party to their wicked plans." This is another translation than the King James. "For in their anger, they murdered a man. They destroyed a town and maimed oxen just for fun." So, like Reuben, as I shared, and it's very interesting as you really look at the history of Israel and the tribes, that they none in Reuben ever were a prophet or a judge or a prince, a person of any kind of renown, and the only two that were named were infamous for their rebellion against Moses. So, like Reuben, their elder brother, the tribe of Simeon easily was overrun and dispersed, and the tribe of Levi had to prove itself before its priestly function was divulged. Remember in Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, there are specific verses that talk about the blessings of Moses. "And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands, and smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again." And if you remember, after the incident of the golden calf, Moses called out, he said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" And they were willing to slay their brethren because of the idolatry and wickedness and total disobedience that had occurred among the people of Israel. So they were those that were, even though there had been initial violence and murder, at least it gives us some encouragement that no matter how bad someone starts out, they can learn maturity, and they're not a lost case. God always gives second chances. Now, the next in line was Judah. He was the next in age, and he had already proved himself. His characteristics were that of a lion, of dignity and power. Let's read on in verse 8 of Genesis 49. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him? And this prophetic scripture in verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh, till Jesus come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Praise God. So Judah, there's a symbol of a in verse 11, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. That's a hyperbole. It's an exaggeration. Those are ridiculously wasteful actions, but it's a reference to miraculous material prosperity. And it says the scepter, the staff, shall not depart from Judah. That's royal imperial emblems, the scepter and the staff are. So the right to rule, even the nations outside of Israel, are prophetic of David as well as Christ. But now let's go back to Reuben, because we are looking at the nature and character of instability. Now, we don't really have much on his character. The scripture doesn't give us a lot to go on, except to say through Jacob on his deathbed that he was unstable as water. There was an inability to control his emotions. Of course, there's several references here. And the first reference was Genesis 35 and 22 regarding Bilhah. Obviously, he lacked integrity and moral character. He did not have government over himself and his own appetites. And this is why we can compare him to a type of carnal Christian. And when you think of it, if they can't control themselves, how could they ever be in a position of authority? Better is a man, Proverbs tells us, who rules his own spirit than he who takes a city. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16 and 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth or governeth his spirit than he that taketh a city. And then there is a second reference in Genesis, and I'm going to turn to Genesis 37, and let me start reading at verse 22. And Reuben said unto him, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him. Now, if I can just refresh your memory, this is where Reuben and the brothers, who were very jealous of Joseph, had determined that they were going to kill him. And Reuben stands out and says, no, don't do that. And he basically, his plan was that he wanted, continuing on in verse 22, he wanted to rid him, Joseph, out of their hands to deliver him to his father again. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph of his many coats, his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took and cast him into a pit. So we see that at least at this portion in time in history, he does begin to act in a leadership role. He was the only one of the brothers who responded righteously and said, no, let's not kill him. And as the firstborn, of course, he had the greatest reason to be jealous. They were all well aware of Jacob's love for his young son Joseph. But apparently, and it was obvious, that he did not have the influence over his brothers to sufficiently cause them to adhere to his advice. And of course, Judah offered another plan that was sort of preempted by God. But just realize that as the eldest, he bore the responsibility that Jacob would have expected an accounting from him. And so he, of course, would bear that responsibility. Reuben very well may have lost respect of his brothers because of that earlier transgression with Bilhah. And also perhaps he hoped to regain his father's favor by restoring the boy. And remember Shechem? That was about 60 miles north of Hebron, where Jacob was living, and that gives you some idea of the wealth and power of this patriarch. But we see Reuben was a man of contradiction. Yet, even though he attempted at this point in time to rescue Joseph, he'd probably, you know, gone on a long roundup of the cattle and stayed gone as long as possible in order to feel sure that his brethren would be eating the evening meal. And while they were eating dinner, his plan was probably to rescue Joseph and send him home without their interference. But nonetheless, that was the plan, and it didn't work out. And in verse 30 it says, "And he returned unto his brethren and said, The child is not, the boy is gone, and how can I go home, or where can I turn?" So we see this sad commentary developing in the life of Reuben, and the leadership, as the scriptures show, was to go to Judah. When famine hits a little bit later in that scenario of Genesis, note that it's Judah who takes the initiative and the leadership role with his father. That's in chapter 43. And of course, we know Benjamin is sent with Judah into Egypt to appear before Joseph. Of course, they didn't realize it was their brother. And Joseph and Judah basically says to his father, "You can hold me responsible for him. I will bear the guilt and blame if he is not returned." And then there is another reference in Genesis 49 and 4, third reference, regarding Reuben's instability, that he would not have the excellency that was his by right of birth because of his sin. And in 1 Chronicles, the fifth chapter, verses 1 and 2, we see the oldest son of Israel was Reuben, but since he dishonored his father's bed by sleeping with one of his father's concubines, his wives, his birthright was given to his half-brother Joseph. So we can see the tremendous consequences that result because of Reuben's character. And this is a warning to us and counsel that we must not be in that place of carnality as Reuben, but that we be willing to become faithful in all the things that pertain to us and according and to God's principles. Well, my time is gone and I must bring this broadcast to a close. Thank you for joining me. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh, behold.